Thank you, Brian, for your leadership in song this morning, and to Brother Benson for reading to us from the Word of God in Philippians chapter 1. Brother Lindsay, for your prayer, thank you for your leadership there. For all of you who are here this morning, again to visitors, I say and we say welcome to you. We're glad that you are here, that you have chosen to be with us here. We trust that that says something about you and your love for God and your appreciation for things that are spiritual. So to our visitors this morning, thank you for encouraging us by being here this morning. God, through Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 30, would speak to his people, the nation of Israel. And he would say, I've set before you life, good, death, and evil. He would say, choose life that you and your descendants might live. Choose life if you want to live. That is, choose life in God if you want to live eternally with God. If you want to be blessed in this life and ultimately the life to come, a choice you must make is a choice for life. Choose life. And what I would say about that is those who choose life have already chosen God and His Son Jesus Christ. But that scripture, that passage and that principle flows into, if I am to choose life having chosen God, should I not also speak life? As I was thinking about the things that I would preach right after marrying my son, and I began to think about, okay, Paul, you're going to have to talk about something. You're going to have to preach about something that will not in any way get you emotionally compromised. You cry too often. And that was hard for me to go do and find something. I thought, okay, well, I could go to Leviticus chapter 13 and talk about the Levitical law concerning leprosy. I'm pretty safe there. I want to speak to us this morning about the tongue. I didn't want to step on territory of our elders who will speak to us tonight. We're grateful, I know that we are, for leadership, for shepherds that shepherd over us, that have committed themselves to God and so have entrusted themselves to us and to our care. We look forward to hearing from our shepherds tonight. So I didn't want to deal with anything until they had first spoken to us about last year, and in particular now this year, and where they will lead us this year. But I want to speak to us this morning about the tongue. And can I begin by giving you a passage in James 1 in verse 26. Listen to what God, through the inspired writer, the Spirit of God, through James. James 1 in verse 26. If anyone thinks himself, James 1 in verse 26, to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is useless. If a man thinks himself to be religious, pious, devoted to God, serving sacred things and sacred purposes, if a man thinks himself, you see, how I see myself may not necessarily be the way God sees me. If a man thinks himself to be religious. And James says, but he doesn't bridle his tongue. Aren't there certain things sometimes? Oh, the Pharisees were not the only ones. They were not the first, nor will they be the last, to look at external acts sometimes, and then by various external acts, judge themselves to be somewhat pious or devoted to God. Well, I faithfully attend all of the services. I give tithes, or I give generously of all that I possess. I pray often. But James wants me, so that I don't deceive myself or deceive my heart, James wants me to consider my tongue and to honestly evaluate whether or not I am, as one who has chosen life, am I speaking life? Can I give you some other passages? Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. If you're jotting these down, they'll not be on the screen. Proverbs 10 verse 19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Still in the Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4, a soothing tongue, one translation says a gentle tongue. A soothing tongue is a tree of life. But perversion in the tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 12 and verse 18, reckless words pierce like a sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. In the New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, whoever would love life, 1 Peter 3 and verse 10, whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking what is deceitful. And so Psalm 39 and verse 1, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. And I will guard my mouth as with a muzzle while the wicked are in my presence. Or this one. This just sums up, I think, all of the passages that we read, and certainly those of wisdom in the Proverbs. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue has a tremendous capacity, both for good, but also for evil. And having cited James 1 and verse 26, just go read James chapter 3. And so death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so those of us who have chosen life are to speak life, are to use our tongues to bless and not to curse, to build up and not to tear down. There are marriages, unfortunately, that end in divorce over words. There are local churches that while some may actually split physically and divide, brethren leave and walk away. There are churches that stay together, but they're divided from within because of words, angry words, hurtful words, words spoken from a heart that's full of bitterness and envy. And friendships can be destroyed over words. There are six things that the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to Him. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to do what is evil, a false witness that utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Did you notice in that context that three of the seven sins that the Lord abhors have their source rooted in the tongue? And so what I want to begin this morning by saying about speaking life is edification is connected to communication. Edification, to edify, to build up, to strengthen someone spiritually. In communicating with others, I am called upon by God to use my words, to use my speech to build up rather than tear down. Let's see a New Testament passage. If you're jotting down, put Ephesians 4 and verse 25 here. Ephesians 4 and verse 25, therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Put away falsehood. Speak truth truthfully, because we are members one of another. No home and no local church can be healthy in the absence of trust. If I cannot believe what you say to me, I lose trust over time in you. Family speaks truth to one another because they are family. Family speaks life into others because they are family. Lying lips, again, are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully, Proverbs 12 and verse 22, are His delights. Edification is connected to communication. Brother Mike read to us from Philippians chapter 1. Go over to chapter 2. Listen, Philippians 2. Two passages, verses 14 and 15 here. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without grumbling, without complaining, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God. Without grumbling, without complaining. Let me say something about the poison of pessimism. Pessimism. Can't be done. Can't be done. Not here. Not by these people. We've never done it this way. And if we do it this way, it can't be done. Can't be done. No. Won't work. Won't work. Can't be done. Won't work. You get the point? The poison of pessimism will cripple a home and it will cripple a church. A murmuring tongue in time will only breed negativity. And since edification is tied to communication, if I'm using my tongue to murmur, to complain, to manifest a pessimistic, critical spirit, it will negatively not only affect me, but affect others around me. Edification is tied to communication. And that point just takes us into our final two. When we talk about the tongue and when we deal with the tongue, don't we have to deal with the source? It's the heart. It's the heart. You see, my tongue will give a voice to my heart, which means I must protect my heart if I am to purify my speech. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus unmasks the real culprit. So listen to what Jesus says. Luke 6, verse 45. Luke 6, 45. Jesus said, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. His mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Later on, Jesus also rebukes the Pharisees and the scribes for trying to say that unwashed hands really was what defiled a person. And Jesus says, no, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. That is the thing that defiles a man. Matthew 15 and verse 11. And if Peter didn't understand it, that tells me that maybe I need to go back and rethink this. And so, Jesus explained. And he said, 17 and 18, Matthew 15, 17 and 18, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But, Jesus says, those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. That's what defiles a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Out of the heart proceeds murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. So I have to deal with the heart. I have to protect my heart. One of the things Jesus wants us to appreciate is if my heart is filled with anger, then out of the abundance of the heart the mouth will speak. Angry words. And if I don't go to the root of the problem, which may be my anger, then all I'm doing is, you're getting the image now, I'm putting a Band-Aid on my tongue. Won't work. A heart that's full of envy. Maybe that's the root cause at times of slanderous speech. My envy is causing me to speak this way about a person. A discouraged heart. Discouragement is real, my brethren. Even the strongest of spiritual warriors can grow tired and weary. If great people of God got discouraged, then so can I, and I'm not that great. But I need to understand the importance of dealing with a discouragement, because if I continue to allow my heart to be despondent and discouraged, I'm more likely to speak words that are extremely cynical and negative. And it tears down homes and churches. And so God set a guard over my mouth, was the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 141, verses 3 and 4. Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Let not my heart be drawn to what is evil. I don't want to be pulled in that direction. I don't want my heart brought over in this, because out of the abundance of the heart, my mouth will speak. Am I protecting my heart? And then finally, number three, I must strengthen others with my speech. Go back to Ephesians 4, now verse 29. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. And while that ought to get some attention, especially when you're talking about the tongue, to biblically communicate and to clarify what is considered by God to be speech that is unwholesome, putrid, rotten. But that's not where the Holy Spirit stops. He says, but only such a word as is good for edification. Only speech that will build up according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Use the tongue for building up. And Paul says, you know, it's speech that's according to the need of the moment. A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. What's the need of the moment? Parents, we must sit down and pray and think about, God, put a guard over my mouth. Give me wisdom so that I will speak the right thing at the right time in the right way. Because what I want to do is help and not hinder. What I want to do is build up and not tear down. What I want to do is correct but not crush the spirit of the child. Did I say pray for wisdom? You see why? Correction but not crushing the spirit. And it's according to the need of the moment. Well, what is the need of the moment? Sometimes the need of the moment is encouragement to those who are weak and faint of heart. Reckless words pierce like a sword. Again, Proverbs 12 and verse 18. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Well, I guess I need to work on wisdom. I need to be wise. Because I want to have the tongue of the wise so that I can speak forth healing words. All right, when we're done here, I'm going to find a few wise folks here, and I'm just going to spend the next several weeks running around with you, and then, or your wisdom will just funnel into me, and I'll become wise because I run around with you. That's not necessarily the case. Now, I'm not telling you don't choose to make company of wise people. You got to get in the Word of God. I have to go into the Proverbs. I have to go into the passages. I have to get into the Word of God to gain the insight, to gain the wisdom. And I have to ask God in prayer to give me the tongue of the wise. So today, in this week, in this year, I can bring healing to others. A person finds joy in giving an appropriate reply. Proverbs 15 and verse 23. An apt reply. An appropriate reply. A person finds joy in giving an appropriate reply. And how good is a timely word? One translation says a word spoken in due season. You see how he connects an appropriate response to a timely word? The right word at the right time, God says, that's a beautiful thing. Can you relate to that? Has somebody ever said just the right thing at just the right time to you? They have to me. And it got you through the day. It was a beautiful thing. It's beautiful in the eyes of God. It's beneficial to the one who speaks the word, the right word at the right time. And it's certainly most beneficial to the one who hears and responds appropriately. A word spoken at the right time, Proverbs 25 and verse 11, is like gold apples on a silver tray. Beautiful. Priceless. But sometimes the need of the moment, back to Ephesians 4:29, sometimes the need of the moment is not simply to exhort those who are weak or to encourage those who are weak, but to exhort those who are wayward. See, I fear sometimes we go to passages like Ephesians 4:29 and we think about the speech and the speaking of life and the grace and the edification and the need of the moment, and we solely focus, I solely look at the encouragement of the weak, but there are those who need exhortation because they are wayward. The need of the moment is the correction and the warning and the discipline that comes through words designed to instruct. And maybe it's for that reason in the context of Ephesians chapter 4, when he tells us to speak, he says, be speaking truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. That it may give grace to those who hear. Maybe you're sitting there this morning and thinking, well, the need of the moment. The need of the moment is I need to say to someone today, thank you. Maybe the need of the moment is I need today to say to someone, I appreciate you and what you have done and what I know this year you will do. Or maybe you're saying the need for the moment is to go to someone in private and say to you, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I have hurt you. Or please forgive me. I acted without thinking. Or maybe you're there thinking the need of the moment is to go along someone, alongside someone and to give them admonition and instruction and warning. So you can't continue to do this and expect to reap a different harvest. If you continue to sow these seeds of immorality, if you continue to sow these seeds of negligence, you're going to reap this particular harvest. God doesn't want this for you. I don't want this for you. Let me help you. And one way I can help you is to show you that you're wrong. But another way I can help you is pick you up and lead you in the right direction if you will follow. Think about the need of the moment. And because you have chosen life, use the tongue today and this week to speak always with grace, speech that is seasoned with salt, knowing what is best, the appropriate answer to give. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Well, that's the message. That was the easy part. Now the hard part is the application. And so James says, do not be hearers only. Be doers of the word. This is the man who will be blessed in what he does. And so, Lord, may the words of my mouth, Psalm 19 and verse 14, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. He didn't just say words. He said thoughts. And you know why. We know why. Because it's our thoughts that influence our words. If you are here this morning and you're not a child of God by faith in Christ Jesus, can I speak to you life? Jesus can save you. Jesus wants to save you. The blood of Jesus Christ can wash you clean, can cleanse you of all of your sins. But you must respond in faith. It must be your faith and your obedience in coming to Jesus Christ, acknowledging Him for who He said He was, the Christ of God. Repenting of your sins, confessing with your mouth, and being immersed in water. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, baptized to have your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, to have your sins washed away. If you're here today, this morning, as a child of God, you've fallen from grace. There's sin in your life because there's sin in your heart. The evil in your heart has affected your actions in this life, has influenced the way you use your tongue. Go to God and ask for forgiveness, or go to someone that you've sinned against and make it right, and then give thanks to God for His cleansing power, for His mercy and His grace that reconciles us to Himself. And if we can help you spiritually this morning in any way that might be public, won't you come while together we stand and while we